The transforming power of God's love is available for anyone to either accept or reject. Let's look at John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 21, to discover some of the unique attributes of God's love. Pastor Sirek continues our series on the Gospel of John with a sermon entitled, A Distinguishing Love.
Father, we just ask you right now, Lord, to once again be in the midst of your people. Lord, show yourself strong through your word, not my word, but your word. And Lord, allow your word to minister to your people. Allow it to touch their hearts and their minds, Father. And that leads to holy living and right practices. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Right, if you have Bibles, if you have tablets, I ask that you turn to John, the third chapter. John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 21, we're going to cover. 16 through 21. John, the third chapter, 16 through 21. And while you're getting that, I would say just a couple of things. One is, I'm going to have to get some of that rust off my fingers a little more often and bring back some more songs that Elder Williamson used to sing. Getting back on the singing block. Amen. In addition to that, I want to say I would be remiss if I did not mention the Christmas party. And all the excitement that I have about that, then I'll tell you, I don't want to spoil it, but we're going to have some food, and it's going to be some decorations and stuff. It's stuff. It's going to be so fun. And for those who say it was, it might be a little too early to talk about Christmas, it's not too early now. We are going to have a good time. And for those who feel in their heart that they would like to donate a dessert before New Year's, the offer is still open. You can still hook a brother up. I will say that I was hooked up for Thanksgiving. Somebody gave me something that I hurt myself over, and I am on the treadmill now because of it. Amen. So you guys can put me back on that treadmill on a constant basis if you like. All right, so third chapter of John. This portion of scripture is heavy. It's heavy. And I want to tell you all, to get ready to think. Get ready to think, to use your minds and just come with me for a moment through these verses, through verse 16 through 21 of the third chapter of John. And I'm saying today that this message is not for entertainment or anything like that. It is for you to honestly understand a bit more about this love that God has for you. And it's also for you to understand that although your love is distinguishing, there's something else distinguishing as well. Or there's someone else who's distinguishing as well. Amen? So, verse 16 through 21 reads as follows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever or whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Boys, Montgomery Boys, tells the story of a well-known preacher by the name of Dr. Harry Ironside. And he states that Dr. Ironside one day was conducting a meeting with the Salvation Army. And at the end of this meeting, a well-known socialist challenged him to a debate. And this debate was agnosticism versus Christianity. And he wanted to have this debate at the local university. So the man handed Dr. Ironside a card, and Dr. Ironside accepted the challenge, but with a condition. Dr. Ironside said to the man, "Here's the condition. You bring one man whose life had been wrecked by sin, but now redeemed for righteousness and goodness because of agnosticism. You bring him to the meeting. And also bring a woman whose life has been messed up by sin as well. And yet she has been changed into a virtuous woman through agnosticism. And what I will do," Dr. Ironside said, "is I will bring 100 people just like that." Therein is the message. Therein is the message of John, the Gospel of John, and in particular, this portion of Scripture today. The message is a transformed life through the love and power of God. Through the love and power of God. So Nicodemus, as we stated before, came by night to have a conversation with Jesus. And he came respectfully to Jesus. He said, "Teacher." But yet Nicodemus was focused on the signs rather than the one that the signs pointed to. And Jesus made it clear throughout that conversation with Nicodemus that, "Nicodemus, your blueprint for getting into heaven will leave you short, lacking, and hell-bound. You need to change." So in the seventh verse of this same chapter, he said, "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." See, a right stance with God was not by way of human effort or by human achievement, nor was it by man-made rules and procedures. In other words, you can't get to heaven by religion. Amen? And Jesus led this selected, all well put together man to a point of decision. He had to make a decision. This is where the rubber meets the road. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Therein is the reason, his love. His love is the reason. His love is the motivation behind his actions. His love. See, God did not give this gift of his son to love us. He gave it because he loved us. And here's the thing, when you look into this word love and you look into it a bit more deeper, it tells you that this was an act of the will. God willed to love. And it also includes some joy in it as well. It points to Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the second verse, where he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. His love is also intense. We can see that by the word so. God so loved the world. His love was for the benefit of all. And we see that through the words world and whosoever. The word gave points to the fact that this is not something done by doing, but by receiving. It's not done by us doing, but by us receiving. He gave so that you will not perish. That word perish, the word means, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you are annihilated and you exist no more. It doesn't mean that, but what it means is this, and this is the Greek definition of it. It means that one will never see the full potential and in the end will be separated from God. One who will never see his or her full potential and in the end will be separated by God. Are people perishing today? In a sense, yes. In a sense, more so than the other, yes, they are. We see so often many people that have great potential. And you can see more so in them what they are capable of doing than they can see in themselves. But yet and still, they are struggling to reach even half, 50% of that potential. And they will never see their greatest potential unless they submit to God. So, the question is, what if you gave God control? There's a song that says, Jesus, take the wheel. What if you just relinquished the pilot seat and gave the wheel to him? What if you did that? Tell me, what harm would that do? I mean, would it cost you a couple of episodes of getting drunk? Would it cost you a couple of episodes of getting high? Is that the cost? What it would cost you to give him control? Would it cost you a couple of failed meetings on the dating apps to hook up? What would it cost you to just give him control of your life, to see what he can do with your life? Will you go on and never know your greatest potential? Verse 17 says, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. What this is saying is that God did not come and send his Son to add to the mess that you were already in. He did not come to all of a sudden just add Jesus to the mess that you were already in. Here's the fact. You were already doomed. It did not take Jesus coming to doom you, to destroy you. But he came to save you from the predicament that you were in. This is motivated by his love. His love for you. And there's going to be a response to that love. Verses 18 and 19 tells us that there's going to be a response to this love that God has given or shown towards us. Because verse 18 and 19 says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. Let me stop there. We have a distinguishing love. Our love is distinguishing. We love who we love, and we don't love who we don't love. I was watching recently a commercial about a program. I haven't seen it. I just saw the commercial of it. And what it says is that these people who never saw each other, who never spoke to each other, who didn't check each other out, were going to get married. Never saw each other, never talked to each other, never met each other, but they agreed to marry one another. Now, for the logical person today, they would say they're crazy. Because we need to check out some things about this person. We need to check them out, see what they're all about. You know, let me run a credit check or something before I hook up with this individual, right? Let me check him out. Let me check her out. Amen? But yet we have this distinguishing love. And we have a distinguishing love because, like, look at how we call ourselves falling in love. Because what happens is something about that person catches your attention and catches your eye, right? All of a sudden it's his looks. It might be his humor. It might be his wittiness. Or it might be his charm. Right? Right. And then next, all of a sudden, once your attention has been grasped, then all of a sudden you get to know more about them. Right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden when you get to know more about them, see, that's when the real challenge comes, because now that you call yourselves together, then you know who you're with. Then all of a sudden you know you love them because you're still around them. Because you know their goods and their bads. What could have possibly caught God's eye about you? Was it your appearance? Was it because you look so fine? Let me tell you, you couldn't be possibly finer than a sunset. No, you couldn't be possibly as beautiful as some scenes such as the Grand Canyon. He's seen beauty and he's made beauty. It couldn't possibly be your show enough fine self. No. Could it have been your humor, your wit? Could you have charmed him? No. I don't think so. Is it something that you possess or something that you could give him? No. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills. And even if I did want something, I wouldn't tell you. What can you do? Why would he even, like, look your way? Here's another thought for you. I believe that God shows us a glimpse of his love through mothers. I mean, fathers love too, but let me use the example of mothers. See, here's an interesting thing about mothers. You always hear it said that mothers will love you no matter what. There is nothing like a mother's love. They stand by you when you're right, and they stand by you when you're wrong. Right? I mean, they love your dirt, and they love you when you're good. But a mother's love can also be flawed, right? Because you could hear the example that I've heard before where it says, I know Johnny shot 5 people dead because it was over a bad crack deal. But they didn't pay him. So had they paid Johnny, he wouldn't have had to shoot him. All 5 of them. Nothing like a mother's love, right? Nothing like a mother's love. See, that love is flawed. But here's another thing about mothers as well. Oh boy, in the child's eye. When that child first gets here and all of a sudden the mother's just cradling the child in her arms and just cradling. And then all of a sudden it grows up a bit and then there's nothing like mother's lap. Oh my goodness, they run to it when they hurt, scared or whatever. Oh my goodness, and it's just so much comfort there. And then all of a sudden they grow up a little bit more and you can just see the daughter sometimes while mom is getting dressed or combing her hair. They're looking at mama like she's the most gorgeous thing they've ever seen. And then. And then. Mama, what's wrong with your hair? Why did you come out the house wearing that, mama? Really though, really. Mama, fix your hair. Mama, come on, you could do better than that. Mama, you didn't say it like, don't say it like that. And then don't get to where you have kids. All of a sudden, mama knew enough to raise you safely. But then all of a sudden, mama, no, I don't want her doing, I don't want her eating that. She go to bed at this time. Mama, they do this. Mama, and then all of a sudden, you're like, man, I raised you. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm venting. I apologize. I apologize. Let me get back to preaching. So, but that's how we are. With God as well. All of a sudden, God is this awesome wonder in our eyes. And then somehow it leads to rejecting him. It leads to rejecting him. And that's the response that we have. And it says that we love darkness. And we run away from light. Just like I told you all a couple of weeks ago, you know, we love our mess. And it doesn't make sense. It's just like Sugarloaf in that dirty diaper. It doesn't make sense when there is a mess and they are fighting you over changing it. It doesn't make sense. But some people love the mess that they're in. And they don't want anything to do with the light. Nothing to do with the light. And that's why verses 18 and 19 are so prevalent to us. Because it says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. You have a distinguishing love. Saints, people have a distinguishing love. They choose to love what they want to love. They choose to love who they want to love. And in a distinguishing love, that's not bad. It's not bad. I don't want Karen going around loving all men. I want her to love me. Only me. It's a distinguishing love, right? Distinguishing love is not bad, right? And we choose to love who we want to love. And God's love is more perfect. God's love is higher than the one that we call ourselves loving with. And yet we choose not his love. Today, I wanted to tell you all that yours is not the only distinguishing love. His love is distinguishing too. It's not about just about your choosing, but it's also about him choosing you. So it's not about the ball being totally in your court, per se. But think about it in another way. Has he chose you? And his love is distinguishing, and it's supported by the Bible. Look at this scripture here, this sobering scripture in Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 4 and verse 5. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestinated us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. And look at Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. See, if there are chosen, then there must be those who are not chosen. You can't have a chosen and then all of a sudden, boom, that's it. If there is a chosen, then there are those who were not chosen. For God so loved the world. He loved the world, whosoever believed. But all those who have this opportunity will not take advantage of it. They won't take advantage of it. They won't take advantage of this love. They won't take advantage of this mercy and this grace. They will go the other way and they will live the way they want to live. But there are some that have been chosen by him. So, his love is also distinguishing. And here is another deep point for you to chew on. If it is safe to say that his love is distinguishing, then it's also safe to say this. It was by his own holy prerogative, by his own holy righteousness and his righteous standards, and by his holy will, he chose those who he chose. He has a standard. His righteousness and his holiness and his justice. That's the bar. And none of us could reach that standard. Not one of us could reach that bar. Not one of us. So he had to do something on our behalf. And just because he is love does not mean that he had to save us. Ouch. Just because he's love does not mean that he had to save us. Man, this is some hard stuff. I know. Because as I read it, I was wrestling with this as well. But the truth is that because he's love, it does not give, it's not, it doesn't obligate him to save anyone. Because the truth is, when you look at his justice says, if you sin, then you will die. But love says, I don't want to give them what they deserve. I want to give them what they do not deserve. And what they don't deserve is heaven with me. And that is exactly what I want to give them. And because we could not reach that bar, he had to save us the way he saved us. And that is through Jesus Christ. See, he had to save us the way he saved us, through a substitutionary sacrifice that was acceptable for him. In other words, a blood-bought redemption. He had to save us the way he saved us. So the reason is his love. And the response, well, some choose him, some don't. And the result is, for everyone who does evil, hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. See, the result is that there are only two types of people. You know, today we are so conscious of race and race relations and things of that nature, but the truth is that there are only two types of people, black, white, or whatever. And that is saved and unsaved. When it boils down to it, do you have a right relationship with God or not? And yes, there is a tension there that I do not want to ignore, because this tension that exists in these verses is that whosoever, that means that it's something on your part. There is something on your part where you have to accept what God has provided. But then there is God so loved. Because the Bible also teaches that salvation is all of God. So there is this tension there of his love and his doing, but then our accepting. And somehow, in some way that I can't explain to you, they coexist. They exist. They both exist. And it's saying that, yes, salvation is all of God, but there is this part that says you must believe. God can't believe for you. He can't believe for you. You must believe. So Jesus was telling Nicodemus here that your way of getting there by doing, by observing, by trying to be all disciplined and everything else will leave you short. You need a savior, Nicodemus. You need a savior. And you're looking at him right here. That's what he was saying to Nicodemus. I am the light, and I'm the light of the world, Jesus was saying. And today he is still saying that to all of us, that he is the light. So what will you do with this light? What will you do with this light? Will you run from this light? You know, I remember before they had all of these spotlights and everything else that goes around on buildings. It's like this is a 24-hour world now. And everywhere you go, you'll see like little cameras and lights and everything everywhere. But there was a time where when lights were off, it looked like a city shut down. And man, I tell you, there were all kind of little dark crevices and everything. And nonsense was going on in all of that darkness. But all of a sudden, boom, these lights have come on now and people have scattered like roaches. They don't want to be seen in this light. So what will you do? Will you scatter or will you come? This is a part that is up to you. As I stated, this is not a candy-coated type of thing that Jesus was telling Nicodemus now. He was saying that you will fall short, Nicodemus. And today he is saying to you, and you can fill in the blank with your name, you will fall short without him. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. Your love is distinguishing, but your love is not the only one that distinguishes. Your love is choosy, but he chooses as well. So I think I would be in my seat sweating, saying, am I chosen? Am I one of his? Is he mine? Am I chosen? See, because you don't think that the power is all in your hands where I can take him if I want him. No, look, there's another side of the coin. Are you chosen? Has he chosen you? And boy, if that's a question in your mind, I would want to get that settled right away. I would want to get that settled right away because, see, it's not a temporary solution that God has in mind. It's an eternal solution. Eternally you will be with him, or eternally you will be separated and without him. What will you do? What are you going to do? I would want to make sure that I'm chosen. Lord, did you choose me? Lord, am I right with you? Lord, I want to make sure that I'm right with you. Choose ye today who you will serve. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, unique, only begotten Son. What are you going to do with him today? Amen. And here's the thing. We have folks that will come up here and will help you walk through that decision if you have not made that decision. Please don't leave here today without making sure that you're right with God. I beg you. Please don't. Because you may not have another opportunity. Make sure that you're right with him. Get it right with him today. So after service, there will be those up here available to go through that process with you. And for those who have been visiting and they would like to make this church their home, and I'm like, the price is right. Come on down. The more the merrier. Amen. And for those who need prayer, the same individuals will be available for you as well. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.